I would not exist without camping. I would not have been born without Christian camping. The whole idea of Christian camping is in some ways very North American, but it has its roots way back much further than that. It used to be in Scotland in the summer, people would gather from all the hillside and they would set up preaching booths all over, and preachers would come and harangue people. But they found was people not listening to the preachers. Surprise! People, in fact, were so enjoying being outside in the meadow. They didn't have to be at work for that. They were getting up to all sorts of inappropriate. Some of them were going to the pub. Some of them were going and hiding in the bushes. The children were running all over the place. So that was kind of a short-lived part of Christian camping. But people who had moved to the U.S. Took Christian camping to a whole new level. So they put up huge tents and gathered people together in a way that they could actually hear. And it became the foundation of what they called the holiness movement in the U.S. It was for people to just go out, and a lot of the old favorite hymns and the so-called camp songs that we sing didn't come out of the kind of camping where you go off to the lake, but the revival, church revival music. There was something else happening in North America at the same time. It was called the Sunday School Movement. It also had begun in Britain. The idea of the Sunday School Movement in Britain was to teach people to read and write. Sunday might be the only time that they might still actually have to work, but their bosses would let them out early, and so they could go and learn to read and write. In some parts of Britain and on the continent, it was illegal to teach people of a certain class how to read and write, and so those were often secret. But in the Methodist tradition, everyone has the right to read the Bible and the responsibility to learn. And so the Methodists and the Presbyterians, and above all, incidentally, the Quakers, became founders of the Sunday School movement. My grandmother on my father's side was the first woman head of the Sunday School movement in the area of Manitoba. They lived a rural, very rural area. And so the first place on the prairies, there were no churches when people first settled there, but there was a Sunday school. And the Sunday school movement was very, very strong. And as the churches grew up and more people came, the Sunday school movement morphed into various other things. The Methodist Literary Association had camps across Western Canada. One of them was on Lake of the Woods. And when my grandfather was a young man, grandfather on the other side of the family, a young school teacher, he was asked if he would help with the camp. And then he was asked if he would run the camp. When the camp first started, it was sort of like Camp Furcombe. Mostly children went. The thing about children is that they have the habit of growing up. They wanted still to be able to go to camp, even though they were grown up. So it became a family camp, the Methodist Literary Association camp. And one day in about 1920, a young woman started to come to camp with some of her friends. Her name was Isabel. And my grandfather thought she was pretty fine. So, the only reason I exist is because my grandmother and my grandfather met at Christian summer camp. It's been a powerful force in the church, in the United Church, in other churches, the whole idea of Christian camping. But they're very, very to maintain, and we've lost a lot of those camps. But still, as new people come to Canada and as new people come to the church, Christian camping becomes this place where people gather. The other reason Christian camping has morphed and become even more important is that at the time my grandfather and grandmother met, still, most of the people in Canada spent 80% of their days outside. Farmers, workers, even people just relaxing, mostly outside where there was good light. We spend 90% of our time inside. The chance for people, especially children from the city, to go out into the wilderness, where there are dishwashers and, you know, nice equipment and things, that opportunity brings us to an understanding of our place in the world that no other does, that chance to go literally camping, to be outdoors. And for many people who can't afford other alternatives, this has, Camp Furcombe in particular, has taken children from the downtown east side out somewhere where it was safe and where they could learn. So over time, this congregation has come to sponsor Camp Furcombe, not just for our own people, but for others. And so we provide scholarships, or camperships, they're called, for people to go to camp from the schools in Richmond. And we also provide some support to Camp Furcombe, because we believe that is still so important. So next week, Yoko will likely bring back lots of really great pictures of camping, canoeing, and the building of skills in the outdoors. And so I invite you to think about that, if something like that is possible for you next year, but also to support the camps that have not only such a long history, but I hope such an important future. Thank you. So we're going to get to sing Make a Joyful Noise.